Pasuk Aleph Beis. Yesterday we did the Malbim. Today let us do. We did one of the Mamari Chazal. Let's do the second Maimar Chazal. So it's on page 420. Let's review what we're up to. Page 420. Sefer Yonah. Pasuk Aleph Beis. We did the Pasukim multiple times. We did the Maimar, the first Maimar Chazal on page 420. Now let's do the second Maimar Chazal on Pasuk 422. Mimei ha-dogosh shor maimar chazal, amru razal, betchila b'loi dog, zohar, v'omar sham b'revach, v'lenosim daitel l'hispalel, v'romas ha-mokim l'chadog, v'hekiyo, he'd spit him out, el pi ha-dogosh. Now this maimar chazal is one little insight where it says, he spit at the dog, spit out the other dog, el pi. It was like they were lips were locked. That's what it sounds like. The dog of the male fish had its lips locked and sealed to the lips of the female fish. Because when we read the Mefarshim that spoke about this idea, everyone that mentioned this idea, you got the impression that the male fish spit out Yon into the water, and then while he was floating in the water, then the female fish came along and chapped him. That's not what it says. If you look at the Chazal literally, it says, I'm reading the wrong thing. What am I reading? I'm reading over here the Mitzudos David, okay? The Mitzudos David, I didn't realize what I was saying over there. He says the LP. Okay, the Mitzudos David makes that point. Okay, so just the opposite. You have to look and read the source for this halacha, the source of where Yonah, the Tosafot Tanchuma, the Mitzudos David uses the words ve'kiyoy el pi hadagah. His words are that he was spit out directly from, ejected directly from the female, from the male to the female, and did not appear to go through the water. All right, let's leave that. That's a little deek in the Mitzudos David. Has to be crowded from all the small fish. Our, let's see, page 423 here the Mamari Chazal. Page 423, Vayispalel Yonah L'Hashem Elokah Mimei HaDogah Minayin Shesheilas HaGu'ula V'HaHatzolah Kuriya Tefillah. How do you know that the She'ela for Gu'ula and success is called Tefillah? Shekein Hu Oimeh Be'ezra V'Notzuma U'Nevaksha Me'a Elokeinu Alzos V'Yi'oser Lanu. So what's the question? The question here is that what exactly is the word tefillah? How do we define tefillah? Where do we find tefillah? By Pinchas. I think it's the only place where we actually find the word tefillah in Chumash. There it doesn't say the word tefillah, vayipalel. Vayipalel, that Pinchas, he prayed. Okay, he prayed that he should be successful. He should be successful in what he did in killing Zimri, Cosby and Zimri. And there, it's not even the same word. There, it's Pilel. The word Vayispalel is a very unique word. The word Pilel means judgment. Yes. Okay. What's the exact shorish of the word Pilel? Pililim. Judgment. Okay, so it means so. What exactly does it mean when you take the word judgment, and you transform it into the word yispalel? So there are many interpretations. One interpretation, something we always like to talk about, is when you can take a word, and you manipulate its vowels, and the meaning is just the opposite of the literal form of the word. Yiskol yisokel. That's the classic example. Yishrosh yisharesh. Yishrosh means to take root. And yisharesh means to uproot. Okay, yiskol, to stone. Yisokel means to remove the stones. There are many examples where you have a word and you chalitza. It's another very good example. Chalitzas hanoal. What does that mean? To loosen the straps of the shoe. And we say every month on Erev Rosh Chodesh, or on Shabbos Mevorchim, Chilutz Atzamos. So what does that mean? Good morning. How are you feeling? Chilutz Atzamos. What does that mean? That our bones should be loosened in their sockets. Chas v'shalom. That's a very big tzara. It means, it doesn't say Chalitzas Atzamos. It means, we say Chilutz Atzamos. We manipulate the vowel that the bones should be firmly inserted into their sockets and should not be loose. It should be perfect. The bone should be in the socket tight, the way it's supposed to be, not loose. Too loose is no good. Chalitza means to loosen. Chalitza's hanoal, but yet when it comes to the nusach on Shabbos Mevarchim, we say, Chaim of Chilutz Atzamos. There it's just the opposite. Likewise, Pilel means judgment. Prayer is not Pilel, it's Palel. We manipulate the vowels. Whenever you take a word and you manipulate its vowels in any way whatsoever, you can transform the word to the total opposite. Prayer is just the opposite of judgment. It's saying, Hashem, we do not want din. We want rachamim. When you pray to Hashem, you're asking Hashem to get up from the kisei shel din and sit on the kisei shel rachamim. Do not judge us with the strict attribute of din, because if we are going to have din, we're not going to survive. Instead, we want Hashem to overlook what we really deserve and show us rachamim. What?
What is Hispa'el form? Doesn't that mean something reflexive, something about oneself?
That's another interpretation. There are many different ways to understand the word tefillah. It's a very hard word to understand, tefillah. But the shorish of tefillah, I'm just giving you one of many interpretations. I know you're coming from another popular approach. But the basic idea of tefillah is tefillah, pilel comes from the word pililim, palel. Palel means to judge. When we take the word palel and we put a chirut, pilel, it's like chalitza, we turn it into chilutz. Just like there you're going from loosening the straps to tightening. Likewise, when we go from palel judgment to tefillah, with a chirik, one dot instead of a line, a patach, it is with the opposite of judgment. It represents rachamim. So here, now if that's the case, now that's the case when it comes to geula. Now you take that idea, the word tefillah hinges on the difference between din, entitlement, versus a gift. Geula, redemption. Are we entitled to redemption, or are we not entitled to redemption? So we know, be'ita achishana, that part of the Bria, part of the way Hashem made the world is that the world will mature to its point where the world, there has to be geula. Mashiach has to come at some point in time. The world must reach its shleimus. This is all built into the DNA of the world. So the coming of Mashiach is din. It's part of what is required. But that's true if it's be'ita, when it comes in the time that's preset, the end of days. But if we come, we ask Hashem to bring Mashiach before its time, to bring Mashiach now, we're saying to Hashem, don't bring Mashiach according to the rules of din, of the way it was intended to be, the original plan, but rather bring it a little bit earlier. Abandon the din, bring it with rachamim. So that's really what tefillah is. A request for the coming of Mashiach is taking the word palel and transforming it into tefillah. Is instead of Mashiach coming in the end of days, let Mashiach come achishena before its time. So that's really what alludes to in this Maimon Chazal on page 423. Minayin shasheelas hageula, the request. If we sit back and don't make a request, we do nothing, the geula will come anyway. That's the way Hashem made the world. Mashiach has to come at some point in time. But the she'ela hageula, the hahatzala, is kiruya tefila. So shekenu oimer v'natzum v'nachshom elokenu al zos vayi oser lanu. The word vayi oser, Hashem was entreated by us. The word vayi oser is a cousin of the word tefila. It's not the word. It's not the same shemesh, but it means to be entreated. V'chein hu oimer b'yoina v'yispalel yoina el Hashem mimei hadoga. Yona was mispalel to Hashem mimei hadoga, to be spared from pain, that din should not take its course, but he should be spared. Now, there's a lot more going on over here in this medrash than meets the eye, obviously, which I do not know. But one thing over here, he opens up a whole new world. Is that he's coming to associate the situation of Yon in the fish with geula. It's a remez to the geula ha'asida. It's the geula ve'ha'atzala. Atzala means to be spared, escape from Tzara, but also word geula. So it's coming to a little bit here is that this whole story is just a mashal for the story of Yonah. This is in a whole new world. To look, and what is the purpose of this story? We spent a lot of time learning the Gra in the beginning of the Sev. This whole story is just a mashal for the neshama and the guf. But here he alludes to the fact that this whole story of Yonah is a story of Klal Yisrael yearning for the coming of Mashiach. And when we're in the fish and we're very comfortable and then unfortunately we're not in the frame of mind to be mispalel for the coming of Mashiach. It's only when we're cramped and we feel pressure is when we make this request that Mashiach should come, and as we're going to see this very beautiful tefillah later on. Okay, let's go to the next Maimon Chazal. Vo'eschanan el Hashem. Another pasuk, another medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal to Hashem, vo'eschanan el Hashem, that he should be able to be given the opportunity to come into Eretz Yisrael. Melamed shehistir Moshe chamesh me'ois v'chamesh esrei tfilois minyan vo'eschanan, a gematria. The word vo'eschanan is 515, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal 515 tfilois that he should merit to enter into Eretz Yisrael. The minyan talfei hachayos. This is the minyan, the number of same gematria of the hooves of the chayos. Shenemar v'raglehem regel yeshara. Minyan yeshara chamesh shmeres v'chamesh esrei k'neged minyan v'eschanan ad she'ola tefilosa l'amaroi v'niskabel. Until this tefillah went to Shemayim, the Amaloi Alei Roish Hapiska, he succeeded. Ushnaim Heim Shasko Betfilah V'Ha'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu V'Chizkiyo V'Yesh Oimer Af Yoina Shnema V'Yispel Yoina L'Hashem Elokav V'Oimer V'Atavoy Elecha Tefilasi. This medrash really is off the charts in many ways. Yeah.
Moshe was unsuccessful in
his tefillah. Exactly. That's what we've been taught. That's why we've been brainwashed. Okay, we've been brainwashed that Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem said, I'll do not continue to speak to me any longer, because if you daven, you mispal one more tefillah, then you're going to win. And I don't want you to win. Hashem gave him a direct order to stop davening, because you're reaching the point where I'm not going to have a choice, I'm not going to have to grant your request. Moshe Rabbeinu did not succeed, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not enter into Eretz Yisrael. And here we have a medrash that turns this chazal that we've been brought up with our entire lives upside down, and says, look at the other side of the picture. Hashem did tell Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ale rosh hapiska, and lift up your eyes and look at the entire land." That was not meant to be. Moshe Rabbeinu was not meant to leave this world seeing a picture, having an image of what Eretz Yisrael would look like. And Chazal tell us more than when Hashem showed him, Hashem gave Ruach HaKodesh, he saw the history of Klal Yisrael. He saw all the generations, he saw everything. That was not meant to be. That was not part of the original plan. When Moshe Rabbeinu sinned with the Meha Meriva, and he hit the rock, did not speak to the rock, it was meant to be that he would die, he would not enter Eretz Yisrael, that's a given, and would not even see from far what the land looked like, and certainly not have a vision of the history of Klal Yisrael in the land. It's only because he was mispalel 515 tefillos did he merit this incredible bracha of being given the privilege to go up to the top of the mountain and to see the land. And not just see the land, but to see with the Ruach HaKodesh everything that would happen to Klal Yisrael during their history until the coming of Mashiach and beyond. And how do you know that? The Medrash over here says, Moshe, because we make a drasha, it says, Vo'es Hanan, which is the Gematria of 515. It says by the Malachim, it says, V'raglehem, it says, Regel Yishara, and the Gematria of Yishara is 515, which according, these are esoteric matters, we have no understanding what this means, but the Chazal are telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefilos reached the Raglehem of the Malachim, the Regel Yishara, and that, how this works beyond our wildest understanding, is what granted him this koyach of being able to see. And he now is listed as the big three, 2/3 people in the entire Tanakh, to whom Hashem answered their request. Amazing, because we like to think that Hashem answers our, what about us? David Shachar's today? That Hashem, do you have emuna pshuta that Hashem will be memale all of your requests? Each one of the 19 blessings of the 18? Can you get more for your money? You daven a shmona esrei, and you get 19. You get 19 brachas, and the 18. And so what's the pshat? Obviously, there are different levels of answering your bakasha. Who could we say received the shleimus, the complete measure of being answered for their tefillah? Only 2/3 people in the entire Tanakh. That's what the Medrash says. So I'm not making this up. Who are they? Moshe, Chizkiyahu, and the Yeshayimim, Yonah. Isn't that very reassuring to lay Yonah on Yom HaKippurim, end of Yom HaKippurim, when he's after spending 40 days, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yetzuv, Yom Kippur, now coming to the end and being reassured that we're going to be like Yonah, Hashem will answer our request. And what Yonah, what was Moshe? Moshe was granted the Ki'ilu, he came into Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing insight, whole new understanding. And what about Chizkiyahu? He was meant to die. Chizkiyahu was meant to die because he did not marry. What was so bad about not getting? There were many people in history did not get married. So why only was he severely punished and mentioned? Because he had a duty to carry on the legacy of David. He was the last member of the Malchus of David who would have been able to produce a child that would carry on Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda U'Mechoykek Mi Bein Ragav. If he would come to an end, then what would be with the bracha in the Torah of Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda? It does not seem from Chazal that there were other descendants of David that would have been capable of fulfilling what it says in the pasuk, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. David said that other Yarshim, but they would not have been able to come forward. Even who knows what Zerubbabel, the entire line of Malchus, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, these are all descendants of Chizkiyahu. And if Chizkiyahu would not have had the Rosh Menashe and a grandson who was even worse, Amon, then there never would have been Yoshiyahu. And there never would have been his three sons, Tzidkiyahu, and which would not have led to Zerubbabel and going down into the Bayis Sheni, all the way down to the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. These are all direct descendants of Chizkiyahu. He chose not to marry in order not to have a child, Menashe and Amon, which would have been a Churban, which in fact brought incredible Churban for Klal Yisrael. Yeshaya gave him Musar. It's none of your business to look into the stars and to see what's going to come from you. B'chiv shid rachman olam alach. You do what is your duty, and I'll help you. I will give you my daughter or granddaughter in marriage. In fact, Chizkiyahu married either the daughter or the granddaughter of Yeshaya, the daughter of Yeshaya, different midrashim, and that produced a Nechanami Menashe, which had done damage to Klal Yisrael that's beyond beyond repair, Chazal say, in the Amin, but ultimately led to Yoshiyahu and a return, and we have benefit. So he, when he was mispalel to Hashem that he should not die, he will do teshuva, his tefillos were answered. And who's the third one? Yonah. And here this Medrash of here is telling us the only reason why Yonah survived this ordeal in the womb of the fish is only because of his tefillah. In other words, it comes a point in time where Hashem says, you don't want to do the mission. Okay, you know what? Fine. I accept. I will accept your letter of resignation. You always hear in the news every so often where different members of the cabinet, they want to submit their letter of resignation to the president or to so-and-so, and they say, no, I'm not accepting. You have to continue working. And sometimes they accept very happily. They accept the letter of resignation. Hashem is very willing at a point in time to accept the person's letter of resignation. Hashem told Yonah, I'm giving you a direct order to go to Nineveh. Yonah says, I'm not going nowhere. He goes on the ship. And Hashem is very patient with him. And Hashem does not allow him to die. After this entire ordeal, they throw him overboard. And he's miraculously saved by fish number one. And then, while he's there, still, Yonah does not get the message. Or he consciously gets the message and he decides, I don't care, I rather die. And Hashem puts him into a second fish. And now, according to this Chazal, if Yonah, this is your last chance. If here in the second fish, you just make a conscious decision that you still want to disobey Hashem's direct order, I accept. You will perish right here and now, and the story of Yonah will come to an end, and all of those shuls will now lose money. They won't have anything to sell after Yonah. It will be a financial crisis for Klal Yisrael. So be it. So be it. And here, at the very, very last moment, Yonah comes to his senses and realizes it's not proper to disobey a direct order. And now, but I've already sunk so, so deep in my rebellion, in my refusal to listen, I now need to do extraordinary measures. I have to do extraordinary measures of doing what? Here, of saying, Vayispalel, Yonah el Hashem Elokav, and indeed, he is one of the three people, the three greats who Hashem listened to his tefillah and changed the situation.
We have. It happened when he was very uncomfortable.
Right, he was very uncomfortable. So that changed things. In Echadami, that changed things. Had he been comfortable, he would not have triggered a change of heart. It's very scary. Chazal said, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They jumped into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, bow down to the idol, bow down to me, or I'm going to throw you in the fire. We'll go into the fire. Chazal tells us very clearly, if Nebuchadnezzar would have tortured them, if you don't bow down to the fire, I will torture you. Then Chazal said they would have bowed down. So what's the difference between bowing down and going into the fire? The fire is an instant. Die in one moment. That they can do. But to be uncomfortable, to be tortured, waterboarding, who knows what they do to this? That is something they could not deal with. Yonah is the same thing. Yonah, Hashem, you gave me a direct order. I'm going on vacation to Tarshish. You won't be able to find me there. He goes in the boat. He was a very wealthy man. He rented the entire boat. He had the pool to himself. He had the whole dining room to himself. Everything was for himself. No discomfort. What happened is a storm. They threw him overboard. They put him in a fish. The fish was also plenty of room. Plenty of room in the fish. It's only now when there's discomfort. He has to share his living quarters with some fashtunk in the fish. Little sardines inside there. 3 billion... 650 million. Now it's not very comfortable. You know, maybe I should not have disobeyed a direct order. Life would have been better for me. And now, well, what am I going to do now? Now I'm already, I'm too deep in my tzara to get out of here. So now he needs to come on to the Koicha Tefillah. And indeed Hashem answered. And here it's something that is so amazing that here Chazal, this Medrash is listing this event as one of the three tefillos that were answered fully by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with Chizkiyahu and with Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is so shocking is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we've been taught all along our entire lives, Hashem did not answer his tefillah. And this Medrash, not only did Hashem answer his tefillah, it's one of the only three people who Hashem really answered. So it goes to show, it really goes to show you, there's a very big Musa Has, when you dive into Hashem and you think Hashem is not answering you, you really don't know what's going on. You don't know, you think Moshe was mispal, and Hashem. Hashem said, no, don't talk to me anymore, quiet. So what it means Hashem said, the answer to your request is no. And yet, when we look at it from a different perspective, not only did Hashem say yes, he's from the only people in the world that Hashem said yes to. And what was the yes? The yes was, you were told to go ascend to the top of the mountain and to see. You left this world. Think about Moshe as a regular person. You always say people want to wish to see this event happen. They don't leave the world until a grandchild gets married, a great grandchild is born, or a certain event in their family happens. We have no idea what goes on in the next world. What does a person take with him when he leaves this world and he goes into? Is it really so important that the person should live to see an event? Why we have a moon that we have all these Kabbalistic. You ever go to a cemetery and you see invitations. You see this all the time. You go to a cemetery and you see on a tombstone they put an invitation to a wedding. So a minhag, there's such a minhag. Okay, I don't know how many people do this. Such a minhag to invite. You invite the relatives, the deceased, to come to a simcha. So what's the difference? You have to live to see the event. You'll come from the next world. Okay, these things, obviously, we have no clue what these things mean, but there's something much more satisfying, much more real, when a person lives to see with his own eyes an event, an experience. And when he goes to the next world, he takes that experience with him. And that, the taking of the experience, even though maybe in life we don't appreciate it, big deal, you see something new, it easily just goes in your head, out your head, so you see something, big deal. We really don't know. We don't know why we're here all together in this world. But obviously, living in this world and experiencing events, it's a very important acquisition for our neshamos in the next world where we're all headed. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was given this in a very large degree. It was not meant to be for him to even have any connection to the Kedushas Haaretz. And yet Hashem said, I'm giving you everything. You're going to see it. You're going to see it all. That vision you'll take with you to the next world, and your tefillos indeed have been answered. It's a powerful Musa Haskel. Don't underestimate the koyach of tefillah. Koyach tefillah is very powerful, yeah.
You can learn it the other way. Looking at it from Yoni's side, he was very depressed. As soon as he got the Nevuah, he decided, I don't want to be involved in this. And he ran away, took the ship, paid as much as it cost, all his money to go as far away as he can. When the ship started going in, what did he do? He went to sleep. Rashi said he just slept a deep sleep. And then when they took him out, and they wanted to dump him in the water, he didn't do anything. He was passive. You let him dunk him in the water, he still didn't do anything. And when they threw him in the water, he still didn't do anything. Even when the fish swallowed him, he didn't do anything. But finally he didn't have a choice. He was in a little, large, smelly place. That's when
Why
did Hashem make it uncomfortable right away? Why do you have to go all the way over the
It's a process. I guess it's something to learn.
Maybe it wouldn't have worked.
Maybe if his mind would have not been receptive to the Musar. If he would have been punished right away, uncomfortable, maybe he was, okay, I'm miserable. Let me just die here. I'm not going to be mispalo. It's only after the collective experience, all of these things happen together, it triggers a sequence of events in a person's mind of a thought process, which ultimately leads to a person taking action. Okay, and we all live in life. Had you been in this situation 5 years ago, you would have done something very different. You find yourself in your life in a certain situation. How do you react? Well, I react based upon my collective life experience. Had I been put in this position 5 years ago, I would have reacted very differently. I would have behaved very differently. Same thing with Yonah. It's a combination of events which now, at this moment in time, triggered that he should be mispalel. Had he not gone through the steps, he would not have been mispalel. That's how we have to understand it. Okay, let's go further in the Medrash. Okay, next Medrash.
Could I share a little bit?
Yes.
You know, there's a different theory. When you hit bottom sometimes, and you have no other way out, and that's like Rabbi Twersky has that about certain clients of his. When you hit bottom and you have no other way out, you won't go to where you normally would have not gotten before.
Right, you have to hit bottom first. Problem is, what's called bottom?
What's
called bottom?
He tried to run away twice, and he realized, I'm in this situation, I can't get out.
In a chanami.
The only out I have is to
go up. When you have to, many times, that's a very popular theory today, is that in order to change an addict, in order for an addict to change, Rabbi Twersky is very popular, very, very big on this, in order for an addict to recognize he has a problem, and he has to take responsibility, take control of the situation, so he has to first hit rock bottom. Correct? Problem is, what is rock bottom? Okay, right. Rock bottom is not so simple. Many times people think they've hit rock bottom, they have a long way to go until they hit rock bottom. And even when they get down there, there's even more you can go.
And that is exactly the same situation for us as a nation.
Right. When will we do teshuva? When
that's
we hit
the
Teichacha, the sixth parasha.
And the Gemara in Sanhedrin is they're looking for where's rock bottom.
That's the problem. The problem with that approach is there's always deeper. There really is no rock bottom. We all know in life we thought we hit rock bottom.
You can go deeper.
You can go deeper. Deeper and deeper and deeper. It's true. It's really true. There's really rock. There is no such thing as rock bottom. A person has to, part of the therapy is you have to create for yourself a virtual rock bottom. That's the first step. Now I hit the bottom. So now I only can go up. But before you can go up, you have to acknowledge and establish this is rock bottom. I'm not going lower than this.
Where else was Yonah going to go?
He would die. He would just die.
There's no problem at all. Rock bottom. No problem. He's dead.
In a chanami, because he's still in free fall. He's still in free fall. It's obviously this very, very.
Maybe that's his rock bottom. Death or
he didn't want to die. Maybe at this point he didn't want to die. The discomfort. I don't know. You're saying it's very good, and I don't know what exactly changed his mind now. If he wanted to die, so now I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to dying. Now over here, I have to share my living quarters with fish. So maybe that will accelerate my death. I don't know. I really don't know. He told him to throw me overboard. When he told him to throw him overboard, he was committing suicide.
Maybe he's a little smart from all the fish.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Human nature is you need a cool down period.
A cool down time.
You are ready. You seem to think everything, and then settles, and then you think about it, and then it's been, I'm in trouble.
Okay? That's what's happening over here. Over here, we have three days and three nights. It was also a time to, we discussed that yesterday, a time to reflect. Let's learn here the Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay? And these two psukim, he has a lot of interesting things. Rabbeinu Bachya, I'm back on page 421. 420 Mashla Yispalal Yoina Ad At. Okay, so it's touching upon some of the questions that you've all been asking. Why did Yonah, why was he not mispalel until this point of time? Especially when they were on the ship, all of the people on the ship were mispalel to their gods. So why, on page 421, Rabbeinu Bachya, page 421, why did he wait until now? Pasuk Aleph Ubeis, Mashle Hispalel Yonah Ad Ata, Biroisai Hasar Hagadol Bayam, Shahoya Holich Vesoyer. Why all of a sudden now, all the other people, they were mispalel way, way before? The answer is, Lefi Shlo Rotzol Lehispalel Ad Sheye Mekabel Yisurin. He did not want to be mispalel until he mekabel yisurim beritzoyin hamokoyim al shigigosoy asher shogag bo'ilam hazeh, until he suffered physical pain. V'yodeya hoyo betuach shlo yanishenu Hashem yisperach oynish miso avul yas imoynisim nefloiz v'alkein ikev tefiloso ad heyoyse b'mei hadoga. He says something here which is totally, totally off the charts that we have a very hard time relating to. It's very mystical, very esoteric. Yonah was a Navi. See, until most of the Mepharshim, they try to look at Yonah as a regular person, someone who we can relate to and we can learn lessons from. And that's very critical. That's very important. That's why the Nevuah, that's why this Nevuah is recorded, and that's why we have an opportunity to study Yonah. But every once in a while, we come across a Mepharsh that does not go with that approach, and he tells us very esoteric concepts. Yonah was a Navi. Yonah knew things that we do not know. Yonah knew that Hashem would not take his life, that Hashem had a mission for him, he would not die. And Yonah knew that Hashem was waiting for him to be mispalo. But Yonah also wanted to suffer. To bring upon himself suffering. You find this by different Gedolei Yisrael, is that they invited upon themselves Yisurim. You find this in the Gemara. There's a machleis, the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan, and I remember Rabbi Yochanan went to visit one of the other Amoraim, and the other Amoraim, he was suffering very, very much, and the Gemara talks about, can a person voluntarily bring upon himself suffering in this world in order to cleanse his neshama, a purification process, so that he should not have to suffer in the next world. Seemingly, a mashahu of suffering in this world cleanses the neshama from an enormous amount of suffering in the next world. The torture a person goes through in this world is very beneficial for the neshama in the next world. What that means, I have no idea, but this is what we have emuna. This is what Chazal tell us. So let's say a person is living a wonderful life and he's not suffering. Can he voluntarily bring upon himself, ask Hashem, I want to suffer. Bring it on. Because I know in the next world, better here than there. So who says Hashem's going to listen to you? Who says you even have the power to do such a thing? It's not logical that a person can do that. Well, the Gemara
is it even right?
So in the Gemara, there's a discussion. There's a major discussion about this principle in the Gemara, and the Gemara seems to say that for some people it works, for very, very holy people it works, and other people the Gemara says lo yhein velo yisacharon. Okay, that's one of the famous. There was a person. I don't want the suffering in this world, and am moichel the reward or the benefit that the suffering in this world will bring me in the next world. Loihein Hashem, I'm not interested. Do not allow me to suffer in this world, and by me not suffering in this world, I'm going to lose out in the next world benefit. What that means, we do not know what it means. So we have the one that Amaroyim said, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Loihein, I do not want the suffering. And it's correct. I accept upon myself the loy sacharon. I will not receive the benefit in the next world. And even in this world, from Sarah Agra. Certainly, you can apply it to the next world. So here, Yonah is on a different level. And Yonah is saying, I want the suffering to come. Because when the suffering will come, then my prayers will be different. Will be on a higher level. I need it to happen. It's very bizarre. And that's why he waited until this point in time. And this is something which I don't really feel comfortable. This is something which is very, very high level. Let's go to the next Dibur HaMaskel. The next...
Of his suffering. I'm not, if he had listened to Hashem right away, there would have been no suffering.
Correct.
So he's inducing Hashem to make
himself. At some point in time, he came to the realization he made a mistake. And now he needs to be mispalel to get out of this his predicament. And he knows Hashem is not going to kill him. But he's not going to daven. He's making a conscious decision not to pray until he's in a frame of mind. And that frame of mind can only come if he is has yisurim.
But is yisurim an effect of his causing it by not?
Yes, seemingly yes. It's part of the process. He knows it's going to come. Like I told you, these are esoteric matters which it's very hard to put your hand on. I don't know. Let's go further. Vayiman Hashem do gadol. Three lines from the bottom of the Rebbeinu Bachi on page 421. Hashem prepared a very large fish. Ein hakavon elios dog gadol begufoy. Ki yesh b'yam dogim rabim gedolim imenu. Doesn't mean that the fish is larger than Yonah. Avol hu gadol bashanim. Gadol means an age. Means it was shemaisei bereishis. The word gadol means zman. It was an old fish, not a fish that was physically large. That's not a big deal. There are many sharks and whales and dolphins and who knows what out there. We're discussing over gadol in this context means that it was old, an old timer, back from Maaseh Bereishis, as we learned in the Medrash, Vayiman, Hashem prepared this fish for Maaseh Bereishis to swallow up Yonah for this story. That's one interpretation. And that's from the Medrash. And then he has another interpretation. Gadol b'malo, shei mizuman. Gadol means that this was an elevated. This fish had a mission. It was choshuv in Hashem's eyes. Why? Shei mizuman lehatzil nefesh tzadik Yonah. Unbelievable interpretation. This fish is called Gadol. It was designated to be the savior. It's a whole new way of looking at it. We look at the fish as a punishment. Yonah here is being punished by being consumed by a fish. It's not so. The Medrash says Yonah was in a desperate situation. They threw him into the water. He should have died. This fish was prepared for Maaseh Bereishis to be the savior of Yonah. Therefore, it was Gadol. In Hashem's eyes, it was Choshev, an object, an item, a person that's meant to be someone else's rescue, to save someone, is Gadol. V'loy Amar, and how do we know this? V'loy Amar v'yivla es yoyne ela levloya. Remember we discussed this topic? Why doesn't it directly say in the Pasuk that the fish swallowed up Yon? It says it indirectly, that Hashem prepared a fish, levloya. Zeyoyra ki misho shenivra minohu levloya. This what it was going to do, the swallowing up of Yonah, it was already predestined. It was already set into motion, prepared to Yonah from the time that the fish was created. Next part. This is Rebbeinu Bachi. It's a little long. Go quickly. Page 423. Again, page 423. Rebbeinu Bachi. V'adayin lo yispal Yonah ki machar shalosha yomim shehoya b'mei hadaga. Now this is a very big chiddush. Because this, if you read the pasuk at face value, this way I understood it originally, and the Rebbeinu Bachi is saying the opposite, is that how long was Yonah in the male fish? Yonah was, let's learn, that there were two fishes. The male fish and the female fish. The symbol ring of the pasuk would seem to indicate that he was in the male fish for 3 days. Plenty of room, spacious. He had a lot of room inside, and nothing happened. In a suite, okay, in a penthouse apartment, he was living it up. Room service.
Rebbeinu Bachi doesn't accept the fact that he was swallowed by two different fish.
Oh, he doesn't even want to say that altogether. Okay, and that might be the difference. But the assumption is
the same fish.
He says it later on though. Okay, that's part of the answer. That's part of the difference. But when we learned the Medrash that there were two fish, there were two of them, it was the small and the large, the impression we get is he was in the large fish for 3 days, and then he was spit out and put into the small, and immediately he was uncomfortable and he was misfollowed. That's not what he says. Now he's changing gears. He's contradicting himself. On the previous section, we learned that Yonah was waiting for what? He was waiting for Yisurim, because he needs to be in a frame of mind to daven properly. Here he's saying, no, a whole different idea. That Hashem is angry at me. When Hashem is nozuf, angry, then it's not the proper time to be mispalo. There's a time for everything, and there's a time when you're not supposed to be mispalo. Daber matitzak elai. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu. Klal Yisrael was in an eighth tzara. The Egyptians are chasing after them. And Hashem Moshe begins to be mispalo. Now is not the time to daven. There are many, many, many interpretations of why Hashem would say to Moshe, now is not the time to daven. Here we learn a new insight. Yonah, according to Rabbeinu Bachya's opinion, Yonah was in the fish and he recognized Hashem is angry. When Hashem is angry, that's not the time to be mispalo. Maybe you do other things. Maybe you'll say slichos. You'll do teshuva. But tefillah has a unique connotation of rescue. I need to be rescued. It's not the time to ask Hashem to rescue you when Hashem is angry at you. He was boish lehispalel. For your rights to kabel yisum kifi ritzon abayri yisparach. Aval achar she'avu shleisha yamim elu she'amad b'mei hadaga. Now the nizuf, the anger of Hashem dissipates. Now his Mitzrayim. This we touched upon is here that it says 3 days and 3 nights. It corresponds to 3 days of Choshech Mitzrayim. Mekayvon sheShlomo lo Shloisha Yom ki Mei Choshech Mitzrayim. Omad vehispalel mimei Hadaga ki Batuach Hoya biYeshua Hashem Yisparach. Kishem sheba Yeshua liYeshua b'Mitzrayim. We have to remember that the Choshech in Mitzrayim was not just happy time, not just a punishment for the Egyptians. During the Shloisha Yimei Choshech, 4/5 of the Jewish people died. It's seemingly the only Makkah of the 10 Makkos that also had a negative effect on Klal Yisrael. All the Makkos, Dan, Serkin, we don't find that the Jews suffered. Adarabah, the suffering of the Mitzrayim brought for the Jewish people refuah. It brought success. It brought opportunities to sell the Egyptians water, bottled water. When was bottled water invented? Makastam? What do you think? Who invented the bottled water? When you grew up, did you ever imagine it would one day be bottled water? Water, you open up the tap, the water comes out. Well, you have to go buy water in a bottle? Do you ever imagine someone where you would pay money for water? We ever imagined such a thing? No one ever imagined.
When they first came out with it, was
living bottled water? Whoever imagined such a thing? Who invented the bottled water? Jews! Farish and Rashi! There's the Chazal! They invented. The Egyptians, their water was contaminated, so the Jews sold them bottled water. Okay, we invented it. Slice the bread. Matz, chametz, and matzah. So this, but Choshech was a makkah that had a negative impact on Klal Yisrael. Because during the Shloisha Simei Choshech, 4/5 of the Jewish people died. Hashem waited for there to be Choshech, so in the cover of darkness, this could happen.
What was the thing that 4/5?
They didn't want to go out. They were assimilated beyond repair. That's the Pashup Shat. Okay, it's very, very frightening. They were assimilated beyond repair, and therefore they were not eligible to go out of Mitzrayim. It's a very, very frightening thing. And it was all part of Choshech. It was all part of the Makkah. So Choshech was a time of tsar for Klal Yisrael. How long did the Choshech last? 3 days. 3 days. So Yonah drew a parallel from the Choshech, and the Choshech in Mitzrayim, it only lasts for 3 days. Hashem's anger. And now he was confident that Hashem would answer. Vice versa. Mitzarecha, the Choshech was a tzara for Klal Yisrael. 4/5 died. But mitzad sheni, for those who survived, it was a time of light. So therefore, this was a critical time. These 3 days, he's really picking up a lot on these. We spent time yesterday on describing the significance of the 3 days. We used it more from the form of, from the perspective of a psychologist. 3 days to allow your mind to settle. Yeah.
You did another 3 days by Esther.
We discussed that yesterday.
Oh, we did.
Esther also. So what was Vahiba Yom HaShlishi? It was she fasted for 3 days.
Right.
She fasted also. A frame of mind. V'yomar mimei adaga ki kishnich divorce further in the Beit Bach. Ki kishnich nas Yonah b'meyav hayechai. When Yonah entered into the inside of the fish, he was alive. Uchashabo el meyav meis miyad. Okay, so now it says here the fish died. Where do you get such a medrash like this? We have many, all the different stories in Chazal. It's always very frightening. What happened to these unusual things the moment it fulfilled its purpose? Classic example is the Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'osoin. And that osoin was prepared from Sheishes Yimei Breishes. And what happened the moment after this osoin gave Musar to Bilam? Chazal Rashi says it died. It immediately died. Why? Rashi says no one should walk around and say an animal. This animal was the one who gave Musar to a human being. So it did its tafkid. Gone. What the Shamir stone. The Shamir stone was used to cut the stones for the Beis Hamikdash. After its function was used, it was used to cut the stones for the Mizbeach and for the Mikdash. It disappeared. The Tachash was a creature that was used to cover the Mishkan. After it finished, it was used to cover the Mishkan. Gone. Everything which had a purpose in this world, it came time for the purpose to achieve a purpose. The moment the purpose was been achieved, that item disappears. This world, what? As I just said, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'asoin, the Shamir stone. The Tachash. And now we add to the list of items that disappears is the dog. This dog is not floating around somewhere by side. You can take all the submarines, all the technology, you're not going to find it. The moment the dog spit out Yonah, gone. It died. It fulfilled its mission and it's no longer necessary. When it entered, so he's saying over here an amazing thing. Yonah was living in a dead fish. I guess for a short period of time, it was a corpse. Yonah was swallowed by a living fish, and the moment, because only a living fish can swallow a person, and now once it exercised its muscles to bring Yonah inside the fish died, and Yonah was just floating around, was in this dead fish that was floating around. Isn't it amazing? And that's why the change of expression from dog to dagah. Dog is mashma alive, dagah is dead. The fish is now dead. What better proof can you bring to this yisoid? From the Makkah of Dam, it says the word doga in reference to a dead fish. And likewise, what was Bilam's koyach? Bilam was eloquent. Bilam had the koyach hadibur. He knew how to use his pet to curse Klal Yisrael. So Hashem was showing Bilam, big deal. You think you're so eloquent, you think you have a koyach hadibur. When Hashem wants, Hashem will give the koyach hadibur to an animal, to a donkey. So don't pride yourself. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the donkey gave him Musar. To cut off his feet, his es Yisrael. Okay, so we learned over here some amazing insight. As you mentioned, that over here there's no mention, according to the parish of the Rabbeinu Bachya, that the fish, there were two fishes, a male and a female, there's only one fish. And we have a new insight that Yonah, the moment the fish swallowed him, the fish died. Yonah was consumed, was living inside of a dead fish. So now the question is, how then did Yonah get out? How then did Yonah get out of the fish? It's not such a kasha, because we learned yesterday that if the fish was alive, a fish is unique, as a mere point, does not have a diaphragm. A fish does not have the ability to eject something. Okay? It's a very frightening thing, because if a person consumes poison, toxins, the body can recognize, hey, what did you put in me? This does not belong here. This is going to kill me. The body can eject it. Okay? Until a certain point, until it gets all the way down, the body has the koyach to force it out of your stomach to a certain point. There's a certain point where it's beyond, but to a certain point, Hashem gave the body such an ability to get it out. A fish does not have that blessing. When a fish swallows poison, it's stuck in there. It's not coming out in a normal way. And so we discuss how then was the fish able to eject Yonah from the male to the female when there is no such koyach in the fish. We don't know. It was a miracle. Part of the nes. So here, if it's anyway going to be a nes, so we don't need the fish to be alive to eject you. Because to eject you, anyway, is going to be a nes. We don't need you to be alive to naturally eject you. Therefore, you fulfilled your mission. It's now time to go. Yonah, you're inside this body, and you'll float along with the fish until the time comes for you to be ejected. It's a very frightening thing about inside. This idea is that when a person's mission is complete, that's it. He leaves. The way Hashem created the world is, Hashem gave every person a mission, a purpose. And when that mission has been achieved, not a second later, it's gone. And the goal, in order that a person should stick around as long as possible, is to create for yourself a mission. Okay, a person has to, don't retire. Never to retire. A person has to keep on, keep at it, have a purpose, have a mission. That's the lumness behind why people, Rachman will say, someone's very sick, there's a Shilei Hashem. Okay, this is a Kabbalistic Indian, and I'm not so much into this, but sometimes you find that people, they add a name. You find this, a person is sick. What's the problem? Why do you add a name? What's this all about? Because a name captures your mission in life. And if a person appears to be on his way out, that means that your mission is complete. But you don't want to go. You don't want to go. So you change the name to give the person a new mission, an additional name. And in that new name lies a new purpose, a new mission, a new challenge in life. And that person will then live forever to achieve that new mission in life. And you see this in an incredible way. At Kedekach, the fish swallowed up Yonah. You've been waiting for this moment since Maisei Bereishis, Vayiman Hashem. You've done your mission. Okay, now it's time for you to go, even though Yonah is still in your stomach, is in your inside. On that list of all the different things that Hashem created, Maestro Bereshis. Interesting. Okay, let's just do the one last thing. So tomorrow we can go to the Tzilah, a little chidah. Now we'll end with that. A very short chidah. Tomorrow we're going to go into the Tzilah, page 423, the Chaim HaSanach. In the Chaimus Anach Vayispalel Yonah El Hashem Yimei Hadogo Amar Abaseinu Dibereshak Siva Yiman Hashem Dogo Dolvus Yonah Vayizachar Vayoyna Oime Berevach Voloy Nosan Levele Yispalel Ramaz Yodash Baruch Hu Ledog Vyikiv Vamirat Vutach Pish Al Dekev Av Hoysa Malaya Uborim Hoyosham Bedoichak Bedoichak Godol Vnispal Shav Shinemar Mimei Hadogo, because that's really pretty much what we learned before. That was mentioned many times. So I think this concludes at least the first one on the page. And Amisham, tomorrow we will go into Pasuk Gimel. We're going to go into the Tefillah, one of the most eloquent Tefillahs that has ever been composed by a human being, is the Tefillah of Yoyna. All right, stop here.